Good evening, everyone. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I'm speaking to one of my favorite authors, thriller novelist, and award-winning Seamus and Silver Falchion award-winning author, Michael Sears. Michael Sears' Jason series is Jason Stafford is just amazing. I can't wait to talk about his last book and what's happening. Stay with us. I'll be right back. For being with me on this Monday night. I hope you all are enjoying your day. Michael Sears has been a guest on my show previously because I love his book so much. He writes about a disgraced trader, or a Wall Street trader, who made a very foolish choice, went to jail, and came out and to redeem himself and became an investigator for a financial firm. His first book was a huge, huge hit. He won the Seamus Award and three other major awards for Black Fridays. He also won the Silver Falchion Award at Killer Nashville for Mortal Bonds. The third book, is Long Way Down, was described as one of the best thrillers of 2015. His current book, Saving Jason, has been praised by everyone from the East Valley Tribune to the Florida Sun Sentinel, and I know that reviewer very well, to Booklist, to Publishers Weekly, to Kirkus, and Book Reporter. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Authors on the Air award-winning author Michael Sears. Michael, welcome back to Authors on the Air. Thank you for being with me tonight.
No, thank you, Pam. It's a pleasure to be back here.
Thank you. Congratulations on birthday number one for your grandchild. It's very exciting when that happens, isn't it? It's so exciting to see these little creatures all over again, part of us, that are growing up so fast.
It does happen quickly, yep.
Boy, it does.
It's a thrill.
It is. It is indeed. So I want to talk to you primarily today about Saving Jason. This is the Jason Stafford book number four, and we'd previously planned on talking when the book was first released, but I think Florida was off the grid at that time, of course, and we weren't able to talk. But in a nutshell, tell listeners a little bit about this book and why it was just so widely praised.
Oh, boy. Saving Jason is kind of a double play there, because both my protagonist, Jason Stafford, and his son are both named Jason. The kid is known as the kid, but his real name is Jason as well. And this book is... a couple of major themes running through it, and one is the continuing change in Jason Stafford and his getting away from his trading past and becoming more and more of a rounded human being, and that's part of this book. But Saving Jason is also the story of his son, a 6-year-old who's on the autism spectrum, who goes walkabout, who disappears, and that's a very big part of the book as well, and the search for him and whatnot is a big part of it. So
I like how you describe the Jason Sr., because I think his interactions with his son are really critical to his growth as a human being. And he is slowly learning that his special needs son is just this fully formed, perfect little human being, and he just has to figure out a way to communicate with him. Would that be true?
Yes, indeed. And it's often said about autism, he's nothing less. He's just different. And the way the way the son sees the world and the threats that he sees and whatnot are different than those that we experience or that his father experiences. But he has to reach across and in doing so becomes more of a rounded human being himself.
It is interesting to me that people say we want to mainstream autistic children on the spectrum, and they so that they can get along in the world, when I think it's totally opposite. And I like this about your character. I think your character he's finding that he has to adapt to the kid's world versus the kid adapting to his world. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement, and I should point out that within the community of autism, there is a great political divide on this very question. I'm not taking a stance on this. But I really want to explore the question as much as possible.
I understand that. And you do it in a very non-judgmental, non-confrontational way, because I think as Jason is trying to figure out how to communicate with his son, he probably is like every other parent, doing the best they can with really a child whose needs are unknown and not unable to be expressed by the child. In the meantime, you've got this very tender relationship between father and son that is at sometimes scary for senior, definitely scary for the kid, but you've also got a lovely budding relationship with his girlfriend who is now pregnant. And I love that, because that also brings about challenges and questions and concerns and considerations, because I'm sure she wonders, will I have an autistic child myself? How will we deal with two autistic children? I mean, she's in it to win it. There's no doubt about it. But that does not mean there's not a conflict there. Is that so, Michael?
That's true. And it's something I know I'm going to be dealing with more in the future as I return to another Jason book at some point, and continue this series, I hope. Because integrating another child into a family with an autistic child is another whole huge challenge. And that's going to really, really stretch those love muscles for our hero, and to him, for his girlfriend as well.
I tell you what I am particularly fond of when I read your books. I know that you were in the market yourself. I know that you ran a couple of big companies. I know that I've asked you a million times before, and you still can never explain it to me, because that's just the Bond publisher in me. But I don't understand the bond market. I don't understand anything. I never will. I'm just not a left brain thinker. So, but here's what I do like. I like the fact that I understand what you're talking about when you're writing the book, because you use just enough of the lingo of Wall Street and then kind of explain it so it's not jarring and I don't get lost in it. I don't feel like a dummy for not understanding all of it. So I appreciate the fact that you use it sparingly. It's enough to make it very, very real, but not enough for me to say, okay, where's the damn dictionary, and what the hell is this? You know, I feel like I have to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal or something. It's a delicate balance. When you first decided to write Jason, did you find yourself revising your dialogue over and over, or did it make sense to you immediately not to do too much of the financial stuff?
The financial stuff? No, that was a major challenge all through writing the first book, and it continues to be one. I wrote the first book in a workshop, and there was a very intelligent woman in the workshop who would say, "I don't get it." And or conversely, too many numbers. You're burying me in numbers. And I set my challenge was when she gets it, I'm there. And
wow.
And it's getting the right blend of this. I don't write how-to books. I don't write them for a Wall Street audience. I write them for a wider audience. And really,
sure.
As long as the reader gets that there's something big at stake here, and that this is therefore emotionally important, and they get sucked in, that's all I care about. If they can't go out and trade bonds afterwards, I'm not disappointed in the slightest.
There you go. Oh, I'm glad about that because, you know, I'd be on the corner with a tin cup asking for quarters. That's about as advanced as my financial skills are going. So this has been an overwhelming success. People love Saving Jason, and I hope that those who have not had a chance to read this book will really go out and get it because it's fantastic. You know, I'm drawn to your books. I can't tell you it's because of the financial angle on it, except for the fact, and this is the truth, and I think I've said this to you before, I enjoy the fact that the hero is very flawed. He knows he screwed up. He went to jail for it, and he came out, and he's really trying hard to do a good job and reinvent his life. He recognizes that his life on Wall Street is over, but it's the system he knows, and he understands it. But on the other side of that, he's not a poor man. He's a very well-to-do man, a man of means. He's very, very smart. And I appreciate that in an anti-hero. I appreciate the fact that he's not a caricature of a man who committed this white-collar crime and came back crushed and everything else. He has a sense of pride in himself and his surroundings, and I think that's important. When you are writing characters, are you fitting your characters into a story, or are your characters finding their own story?
It's very much the latter. The way I work, I don't necessarily start at the beginning. I have an idea of what the crime is, but I don't know who did it. I keep throwing situations and characters at my main character and see what fits and how he reacts to them. And that is the fun for me in writing is exploring that with the characters. I can't make them do things. They've got to find their own way. So,
Are you finding out more of their strengths as well as their weaknesses as you write these folks?
Yes, yes. And for not just for Jason Stafford, but for all of the other characters, there are other repeating characters in the books, including
yes.
his girlfriend and the family of his ex-wife, friends, from bar friends and whatnot, and I'm finding that they are revealing more and more of themselves as well, as I continue in the series.
It's so much fun to read, Michael. It really is. Now, you've not put out another Jason book this year, which was, you know, very disappointing to me. But then you gave me great news before we came on air, and you are writing a standalone. So I'm intrigued by that because, you know, you're such a heavy financial guy, even though your skills are as a writer are fantastic. I mean, as obviously by all the awards you've won and the ones you've been nominated. I mean, you've been nominated for every major award there is and won a couple of them. So can you give us a hint about what you're working on?
Yes, I can. And the idea is it's the crime is not financial, but there's definitely a lot of money involved, and it all has to do with air rights, the ability to build something astronomically tall in an environment that's not initially zoned that way, and it takes place in New York City again. I moved boroughs. I'm out in Queens this time because Queens is the ultimate melting pot of America. There are more cultural enclaves within Queens than you find just about anywhere, and they all manage to get along somehow. And
they sure do.
I'm fascinated by it. So that's where I placed this book.
Well,
and it's rolling along at this point. I'm sorry.
Do we have a male or a female protagonist?
It's a male protagonist. Yep.
Okay. But you will eventually get back to Jason, please.
Well, I actually have a short story of Jason coming out, and I do plan on doing more short fiction soon with Jason and the kid. There are pieces of things that I wanted to explore that really aren't book length, but that I'd like to get together at some point.
So tell me about the anthology in where Jason and the kid are, because I'm, you know, of course I'm ordering it, and you know, and of course I'm reading it, and maybe I'll read some of the other stories too. But you got together with a group of authors to for a charitable cause. First, tell us the name of the anthology.
Cooked to Death, and the first. Cooked to Death came out last July. Cooked to Death 2 comes out this July, I think July 2nd. And Cooked to Death 2, Lying on the Plate. And it's primarily Midwestern authors who get together and are doing this as part of the proceeds go to the Minnesota farmers, and they are buddies and invited me to be part of this. I had an idea for a Jason story that fit with what they were trying to do here. Some of the authors include recipes as part of their stories. Mine does not, but it's a fun it's a fun anthology, and
you
think
like
this
the short story
one,
version.
Yep.
You like the short story version, do you? You like writing short stories?
Yeah, that there are themes and ideas and moments in Jason's life that don't really fit into a book, would be kind of a distraction from main plot lines and whatnot, but there are pieces of his life that I would like to explore that way. And I never thought I was a short fiction writer, but I'm finding that I enjoy it very much, so I've been working on that as well.
How many words in your short piece? Approximately.
I think it's 3,500.
Wow.
So it's not that short.
Short story indeed. No, but it's short. It's not flash, but it's short.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, I'll look forward to reading that. And your next book, have you a title for it now, your work in progress? Your whip,
nah.
Do you have a title?
And my working titles never make it to the front cover of a book. Not one. So
I think very rarely they do. Do they stay? Don't they? They kind of get thrown out by your editor, who says, "No, we're not going to do that." And then they got to bring in marketing, and everybody has to go through the whole thing, right? So the work is no longer yours once you turn it over.
And Black Fridays was Blue Mondays forever. It was going. It was all set up that way, and then catalog came out, and lo and behold, there was another author using that title the same year, coming out before me, and with a much bigger name, and suddenly we were in a panic, and that somehow set the tone. It has happened with every book, whatever the working title is, it does not end up on the book. So,
well, there you go. So don't even bother trying to tell me one, right? Good for you. Good for you. Are you attending any conferences this year, Michael?
Upcoming
conferences?
I will be at VoucherCon this fall. I'll be at Thriller Fest in July here in New York.
Okay.
It's right here in New York,
it's right there.
It's right here, so
right.
Yep.
It's a good conference. I haven't been there in ages, and I really do want to go. But this year, I want to go sit with the romance writers too. So I'm going to go there instead of to New York. It's kind of in all of these wonderful conferences are kind of in my backyard, so that's where I'm heading. When do you expect your next book to be out? The standalone will come next year, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Yep. Yes.
Tell everybody where they can find you on the webs, please.
Oh, michaelsears.com. I am sporadically on Facebook. The access to most of my stuff is through the website. And you can write me. I answer everybody, even the people who don't like me. I will write
you
back.
Well, let me ask you a question, speaking of writing. Not that it happens too often to you, but if you get, you don't get very many bad reviews at all, but if you get a review that isn't quite lovely, how does that affect you? Do you want to go and say, please explain it to me? Are you one who follows your reviews very much?
I love to hear great praise. And when I'm feeling really blue, I'll go on Amazon and look for the one star so that I can flog myself even more. But I don't take them very seriously either. It's I don't take either very seriously. It's nice to be praised, but in the end, I'm the one who believes in the book, and I've got to believe in it 100%. So it's nice that people like it. If they don't, well, I didn't reach you this time. That's all.
There you go. And plus the fact it's so subjective anyway, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Let me ask you a couple questions here, kind of off the side. Whose book are you reading right now?
Oh, goodness. Reed Farrell Coleman suggested I try Daniel Woodrell. And he was absolutely right. The guy really has just incredibly beautiful prose, and really cracker stories. So I just read Winter's Bone, just finished that the other day.
Oh. Oh yeah, that's a good one. I'll recommend Steve Hamilton to you, Exit Strategy. I read it in one sitting. It really fast, and it was really, really good, and I really enjoyed it a lot. And At What Cost, James Littrell, he was also wrote a spectacular book. Although it seems to me, I've been seeing more and more great books as the years pass by. I think I'm really lucky to know so many great writers. In your short amount of spare time, what do you do with yourself? Well, how do you spend your spare time?
I have a sailing addiction that I have to feed, and it's coming up to that time of year, so I'm trying to get the boat ready, and really this last year, becoming a grandparent is a whole new thing to explore.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, yes.
What would listeners be surprised to learn about you, Mike?
Oh, goodness. Wow. I'm actually not as involved in the financial world anymore, as one might think. I've kind of pulled away and let things go as they will, and really just focusing much more on my writing and post Wall Street kinds of things.
Well, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I have books that I like to reread every so often. Just a few that I like to reread. Do you find that you have books that you will go back to every so often because they're so well written?
Well, there's a series of nautical warfare books by Patrick O'Brien, the Master and Commander series, that I have reread. And I keep a complete Jane Austen on my ebook reader that I go back to quite often.
How interesting! Really, that's so surprising to me. Now that's a surprise. That's a surprise.
And I was 50 some years old before I read Jane Austen for the first time. So
it's unique.
Yeah.
It's uniquely humorous in its own way, is it not?
Yes, yes. She's
interesting.
She's an incredible writer and wonderful character, really a whole depth of understanding of all people's foibles. That's really delightful.
It is indeed. What's on your bucket list, Michael? Tell me something on your bucket list.
Oh gosh, it's going to be something with sailing, a nice long trip, and I've sailed In the Caribbean. I've sailed in the Mediterranean. I'd love to sail somewhere in the Pacific.
How lovely. Well, you know, Hugh Howey is doing his around the world trip, and so he followed his passion to do that too. So I'm sure that it'll come true for you as well. Michael Sears, the author of the Jason Stafford books, you must get these books. The current one is Saving Jason, crazy reviews all over the place on it. It's a great book. Michael Sears, you will come back, won't you, and tell me when you have your standalone ready to go so we can talk about that too?
I'd love to, Pam. Thank you.
And congratulations again, Grandpa.
And to
enjoy
you, too.
Time
yes.
with that. Thank you. Enjoy time with that grandbaby. Yeah. Good luck with the book, and I'm going to look forward to reading the anthology when it comes out this July. Thank you so much, award-winning author Michael Sears. Michael, have a lovely evening, and thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much, Pam.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
And that's our show for tonight, folks. Thanks for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.